Today, we're going to continue in our series. On who is the Father. We just have finished two other series on who is the Holy Spirit, who is the Son. And today we're going to talk about who is the Father. How many know that we have to realize our relationship with Jesus Christ is so much in depth, and there's so much there. He says, I am God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so I believe these three series that we've been doing over this last summer has been so instrumental in the foundation of every Christian that we must know the role of the Holy Spirit, we must know the role of the Son, and understanding the role of the Father. How are all three separate, but yet God in one, and how they flow together. The first 2 weeks, Pastor Matt talked about the names of the Father, talked about the names of God. Last week, I talked about the goodness, that God is good, and the goodness of the Father. I'm concentrating more on the attributes of who God is. And today, we're going to talk about the Father is just and merciful. As we talk about the attributes of the Father, we know the attributes are things that He does, right? No, that's not true, is it? Attributes are not things that He does, but things that He is. You see, because if God has goodness, then He can lose it. If He has justice and He has mercy, then He can lose it. But we realize He doesn't have justice. He doesn't have mercy. He doesn't have goodness. That He is goodness. That He is mercy. That He is justice. Then we realize these are things about the Father that He is, and they do not change. The more we study about who God is, the more we realize that the reason God acts merciful is because He is mercy. The reason why He acts in justice is because He is just. Let's look at these definitions today I wrote down for you. Justice is giving you what you deserve. Anybody receive justice in your life? Am I the only one that's ever received justice? Justice is us getting what we deserve. Sometimes the Bible says we just reap what we sow. And sometimes we get justice and we get things that we deserve. But how many are glad that our God, not only is He a God of justice, but He's a God of mercy. And the God of mercy, because mercy says it's not giving us what we deserve. Mercy is not giving you what you deserve. Even though we may deserve one punishment, God gives us another. And how many parents here have ever had mercy on your kids? I mean, they did something that you know that they shouldn't have done when they broke that window out and your blood was boiling. And when you went to punish them, you remembered when you was a kid. And that time you broke the window out of your father's house. Or the time you put a dent in your dad's car. Or the time you burn a hole in your dad's carpet. And all of a sudden, you have a little mercy on your children. Even though they deserve some maybe stiffer punishment, you show them a little mercy because you can realize where they've been and what's going on. And see, mercy doesn't give us what we deserve. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. But just for fun today, I'm going to give you an extra definition here. And it's the definition of grace. Because our God is full of justice and mercy, and He's full of grace. Because grace is giving you what you don't deserve. How many are thankful that we get what we don't deserve? That's grace. We don't deserve the relationship with the Father. We don't deserve the forgiveness of our sins. We don't deserve eternity in heaven. We don't deserve the goodness of God. But that's just exactly what it is, because we cannot comprehend this. Because we operate in justice, and sometimes, we can operate in mercy. For those we really love, we can operate in mercy. But if we don't know them, justice is what they're getting from us, right? Let's just be honest. We'll give out justice. Those we're close to and we love will sometimes give out mercy. But grace, it's a whole nother level. Let's say it again. It's a whole nother level. Because it's not getting what we deserve, but it's getting the things we don't even deserve. That's God's grace for our life. It's so overwhelming. It's so overwhelming in our life when we realize that God is a God of justice, mercy, and also full of grace. And today we're going to focus on the God of justice and the God of mercy. How can these two coexist? Isn't it kind of an oxymoron, really, when you think about it? God is fully justice, but also fully merciful. And when you think about it, how the two are really polar opposites. And how can they really coexist? And matter of fact, in Scripture, we can see where often Scripture even describes God with both of these in the same verses or the same text. Let's read a couple of them today. Psalms 89, 14. Righteousness and justice. Righteousness and what? And justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. We see them use both right there. Let's look at Psalms 101. I will sing of what? The mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. Let's look at our next text here in Isaiah 30, 18. Therefore the Lord will wait, and that he may be gracious to you. Therefore he will be exalted, and he may have what? Mercy on you. For the Lord God is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. And Hosea says it like this in 2:19, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and in mercy. So we see with this word justice and mercy many times is used in describing the attributes of the Father in relation to you and I. But yet our mind sometimes has a hard time comprehending it. Let's get right into our points today. Number one, the Father, first of all, is completely just. We must realize the Father is completely just. He's 100% just. Remember, whatever God is, he is that fully. He is fully good. He is fully just. He is fully merciful. He's just not part anything. Because you and I, that's the way we are. We have parts of us that are good. We have parts of us that are cranky. We have parts of us that do the right thing. We have parts of us that don't want to do the right thing. Matter of fact, guys, can I just talk to you a second? All men here, we really struggle with this compartmentalizing things because that's the way our brain's made up. We have our brain file that tells us, all right, this is our work file. This is my marriage file. This is my children file. This is my hobby file. This is my sports file. This is my Harley file. I mean, we got all these files, okay? And we compartmentalize everything. Now, ladies, you don't do that. You have one file, and it's all in. Everything is just all mixed in together. Isn't this so true? I mean, think about it. Husbands and wives, we can be fighting and have an argument and be arguing very intense, and then you stop the argument, and 15 minutes later, the husband will try to cuddle up with the wife and get a little marriage time, you know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, what's the wife do? What do you think you're doing? We're like, what? What? No, I know. We were just arguing 15. You got to shake the hand. Right. We were just arguing 15 minutes ago. And now you want to snuggle up with me? I don't think so. Why? Because that's all still intertwined. The guys were like, that was 15 minutes ago. I was in that file. I'm on this file. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know. And we're able to do that. So, guys, I think we have a harder time with this ability to really comprehend that God is fully good, that God is fully merciful, and God is fully justice all at the same time. You see, because, guys, we have this war going on inside us, don't we? Many times going from adolescence into youth, and from youth into becoming adult, that our old nature is warring with our new nature. That as we get married, we're learning to grow up, and we're learning to die to ourselves and serve our wife and serve our family, but yet our youthful nature still wants to play and be irresponsible. And so we're constantly battling with it and learning to give, and as we grow and mature, we shift that, and we compartmentalize. You know, the parts, we grow out of it. But see, let me tell you this. God doesn't have this problem. See, God doesn't have this problem. He's not battling with his justice on one side and his mercy on the other. He's not battling. They're not at war with each other. We're not just hoping, all right, God, I just hope, God, that your mercy is just a little bit better than your justice. I hope that you just have a little more mercy than your justice on me. They're not at war with each other. He is fully justice. And he is fully merciful. They're not at war with each other, but they coincide and they're mixed and intertwined and they all go together. They make up who the Father is. It just brings us to our thinking here is this, that we see when you walk into a courtroom, right above the door, what will you see in a federal courtroom? You'll see the scales of justice, won't you? You'll see that symbol, the scales of justice. And our thinking, as far as the justice system goes, at least my thinking was, and I'm sure many of you share this, that we think that the evidence is weighed out in court by all the bad evidence that's put on one side. And then on the other side of the scale, we have all the good evidence put there. And so we have prosecutors versus defendants. And they're battling out, and whichever one has the most evidence is the one who wins and gets justice. But in all reality, that's really not the way it lines up. Our justice system is set up like this, that both the good and bad we do is weighed together. They are both put on the same side of the scale. All the good of the case and all the bad, all the prosecutor's evidence, all the defendant's evidence are all put on one side. And on the other side of the scale is justice. It's justice. And so justice sits on this side of the scale. And the fact of the matter is there enough evidence, is there enough good and bad, if it's all said and done, to equal the punishment that brings justice? If not, then it's not handed out. If it outweighs it, then we know that justice is going to be served. And so this is how the justice is done in our courtrooms. But I believe that this really carries over to our life personally, isn't it? Come here, Tom, give me a hand here this morning. I believe that we see our scale as a big life, our life as a big scale as well. And we live out our whole life trying to say, you know what? I want to do enough good in my life. Stand up here on the top scale. There you go. I want to do enough good in my life that it outweighs the bad I've done. Matter of fact, I've had people tell me that, Pastor, I just hope that I've done enough good that outweigh the bad I've done in my life. Come on, isn't that a way of thinking? We think that we are earning our way, or we're trying to earn our way to a relationship with the Father. I just hope I'm good enough, and we try to always please by doing things, and we think, all right, if I have just enough good. But this is what I want you to realize. God does not judge this way. God judges this way. He takes all of our good, and he places it with our bad, and they are both on the same side of the scale. And so, what's on the other side? Justice. Who is justice? The Father. We just read it. The Father is fully justice. So what happens is this, as the Father steps on the scale. I need someone to pray the Father. Come here, JD. He's been playing God a long time, Sam told me, so he should be good at this. So you're going to play God this morning. So when God the Father steps on the scale, he is fully justice. And this is the problem we have, is this, is that no matter how much good we do, it will never equal to the morality, it will never equal to the justice of the Father. But that's how we're weighed. This is how we're judged. That everything we do that is good, it will never equal. We can all take everything we've ever done good and give it to Tom this morning, and it will not even amount to a feather in weight. We can all get on the scale. We can all jump up here together and get on the scale and jump up and down with Tom, and it ain't going to move. Not because JD's a big guy, but because God's a big God. His justice is full. He's 100% justice. No one is equal to the justice of the Father. But we try to live our life this way, thinking the scale. No, it's about this. And so what happens? How do you and I receive the justice? If God is saying justice is this, that the wages of sin are death, that all have sinned and come short, all, every one of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. So how do you and I receive full justice from the Father? It's this, that the Father steps on the scale and says, this is the measuring stick. But the good news is this, because he's also full of mercy, because the Father is also full of mercy, that he says, I also have a plan. And he says, I got a son, his name is Jesus. And Jesus is going to come and he's going to die on the cross for the sins of the world. and those who confess him as Lord and Savior. This is what's going to happen. God the Son is going to come, and he's going to step on my side of the scale. Listen, the Son's going to come. He's going to step on my side of the scale. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the scale's going to do this. Even. And God's going to look at us and go, even. Because his Son is standing on my side of the scale. His Son is standing with me. Thank you, guys. You can put those down. Yeah, thank you. You see in our life, because he's fully justice, justice must be served. But because he's fully merciful, he's got a backup plan. And he sends his Son to step on our scales with us. Now let me tell you, Jesus Christ has already paid the price for my sins. And I mean, let me warn you right now, there's a lot of false teaching that's been going around the last couple of years that is telling people that Christ has already died for the sins of the world and that everybody's already saved. They just don't know it yet. Some people don't even know it yet. And that is a false teaching. Partly true, because yes, Jesus Christ has died for all the sins of the world. But yet, there comes a point, he says, where we must, for ourselves, say, Jesus Christ, I am a sinner. That God, I am a sinner, and I know I deserve your justice. And I bow at your feet, and I confess that you are Lord of my life, and I declare your justice over my life. And when that happens, he invites his Son to come in our life, and he steps on the scale with us. And then we walk into grace. But we got to step into it. We got to confess it. We got to believe in our heart. But it's there. Because this is the awesome thing. Because the judge sits on the scale, and it goes even. And then he looks at us, and he sentences us, and he says, I sentence you to heaven. Isn't that awesome? We've been sentenced to heaven. That's grace and mercy right there alive in our life. He is fully just, 100% just, and justice must be served. But he had a plan, which brings us to the mercy of the Father. Number two, a second and last point. Can you believe Pastor Gene only has 2 points today? The Father is completely merciful. The Father is completely merciful. So if God had no beginning and no ending, then his mercy has no beginning and no ending. Then his goodness has no beginning and no ending. Then his justice has no beginning and no ending. His mercy will never increase, but his mercy will never decrease. Isn't it awesome? His mercy will never increase because he is all powerful. He is all mercy, 100%. And it's for my life, but it will never decrease and it will never increase. I love what the psalmist says in Psalms 136. Let's read the first three verses because it gives us the whole gist of the whole thing here. I'm going to read the first part, and I want you to read out loud the part that's underlined. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to God of gods, for his mercies endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercies endures forever. And we can read this whole chapter, and it repeats itself every time. The mercies of the God endureth forever. How long will God's mercy last? Forever and ever. In my heart. We know his mercy will endure forever. It's not compartmentalized. It's not based on my fight or my argument. It's not based on my mood. It's not based on a battle waging. Is mercy winning or is justice winning? No, he is fully mercy. He is fully mercy in our life. And when you learn that, it changes who you are. When I realize the mercy that I walk in, it changes who I am. When I realize the mercy that I'm under, it changes the way I worship. Some of you say, Pastor, you really abandon yourself in worship. I said, because I understand God's mercy. I can't help but abandon myself in worship to him because I understand the mercy that he's given to me. I understand the justice that also is given to me. But I understand the mercy that comes and coincides right with it. And the mercy in my life, it will change the way you worship. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you attend church. It'll change the way you talk about God. It'll change the way you love. It will change the way you treat your spouse. It'll change the way you do your job. It'll change who you are when you understand the attributes of the Father is full of goodness. This is why He can be merciful all the time, because He's just that good. He's so good He can't get any. There you go. We discovered that last week. God is so good, He can't get any gooder. God is so good. He's got so much goodness in His life that we cannot comprehend it. But because He's so good, it allows His mercy to be fully there, alongside with His justice was fully there. There's a story today I want to tell you in closing that talks about after World War I in Europe, that there was many orphans that were left behind in the war. And so the United States and many of its allies helped Europe by opening up orphanages all around, taking care of children who had been left without parents, especially those who lost their parents to the war. And it was a bad economical time in Europe during that time, and it was tough. Even the orphanages had a hard time. Only the funding coming through the United States and its allies were helping keeping these places open, because it was hard to get work, and you couldn't get work, you couldn't feed your family. And one of the directors wrote in his diary about the time a tall, thin father walked in holding the hand of his little daughter. And he said you could tell they both have been very much now nursed. And the father said, I just can't. Her mother's dead, and I just can't take care of her. I want to, but I can't even find work myself, and she's going to starve. If I can't find, can you please take her in? And the director looked with sadness in his eyes and said, sir, I just tell you, I can't take your daughter in. Our policy is, and I can't bend the rules, is that as long as both parents are alive, if even one of them are alive, I cannot take your child in. And so looking at the director, he said, so you're saying if I'm not alive, she could live here, but because I'm alive, she can't. He said, yes, sir, that's what I'm saying. And so the father, with tears in his eyes, looked down at his daughter and gave her a hug, and kissed her and told her how much he loved her, took his hand of his daughter and he placed it in the hand of the director. And he told his daughter, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And sadly, the man walked out of the office and committed suicide. You know, today, that's a sad story, but really it collates to our life. Because it was the father who looked at you and I, took his son's hand, and reaches out and puts our hand in the son's hand and says, justice must be served. My son must pay the price. So justice will be served. But he said this, the father's going to give us life. The son's going to give us life. So that the children can live. This is what God's done in our life. He's fully justice. But because of his mercy, he has arranged a way that you and I can walk and live with justice. We can live and experience God's justice fully, but we can also experience His mercy and grace in our life. I'm going to invite you just to bow your heads a minute. As you bow your heads and don't look around, I want to ask you this question. If you're here today, you say, Pastor Gene, I really want to ask you. You're talking about the mercy of God, and I realize in my heart that I need to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I never prayed that prayer, asking Him to be Lord of my life, and today I'm seeing that I can never be good enough on my own. I'm seeing that no matter how good I try and how many services I come to, it's still about me receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And today, I want to accept Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer before. Or maybe you have a long time ago. And today you say, Pastor, I want to come back. I haven't lived for God in a long time. And today I want to come back and renew my relationship with Jesus Christ. Nobody's looking around at all, and I won't embarrass you one bit, but I want to give you a chance today to say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready today to accept Jesus Christ. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? I will not embarrass you, but I want to give you a chance. Thank you. Anybody else want to join me today? Thank you. Raise it high. If you haven't raised it yet, now's your time. Raise it. Say, I'm ready. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. Thank you. Don't let this moment pass you by as you make the most important decision of your life. Saying, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I'm ready to walk in His mercy. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm going to ask one more time, and I'm going to close. But you today, you haven't raised your hand yet. Raise it right now. Say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. Raise it one more time. You haven't done it yet. Higher I can see it. We had many people who raised their hands today, so this is what we're going to do. As Christians, we're going to say this prayer out loud with you, especially those who raised your hands. I want you to say this prayer after me out loud. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you every part of my life today.
I give you every part of my life today.
I believe your Son, Jesus Christ,
is the Messiah.
And from this day forward, I will live my life for Him. I will serve Him with all of my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or renewed your commitment, we say, welcome to the family of God. Let's give a hand clap. Before you leave, if you raise your hand today, before you leave, please stop by our information booth in the back. We've got a free Bible and a packet that tells you what you need to do. This is just the beginning of a new journey. It's not the ending, but it's the beginning of a new journey. If you don't have a church home, you need to be involved in a church home. We'll support you on your new journey. You can't do it alone. You need people around you. They're going to speak positive things in your life. They're going to encourage you. They're going to teach you about God's love. And so if you don't have a church home, we want you to get involved here. If you do have a church home, go home and tell somebody in your church, man, I gave my heart to Jesus today. The rest of us here today, I'm going to ask you this question. How many today say, Pastor, I want to experience God's mercy in my life like I never have before. I want to walk in the mercies of God. Can I invite you to stand on your feet? Let's all stand on our feet this morning. We're going to close with this song. We haven't done this song in many years here. But I believe today it's been on our heart to do, and we're going to do it. It just simply says, You are why I sing. You are why I love. And today, as we think about God's mercy, we think about His justice, but we also think about His mercy today, I want you to just begin to lift your voices up today and sing to Him about how much we love Him. Come on, You are why. You are the truth.
everything of me. I place at your feet. You are why I love. You are why I give. And everything of me belongs to you.
Come on, raise your hands and sing it.
You are why I sing. You are why I pray. And everything of me, Lord, I place at your feet.
Right now, I speak to God, your justice and mercy. Lord, be released in this place today. To God, they would feel your mercy wrapping around them like a warm blanket. To God, your mercy would come alive in our life like never before. God, I'm thankful, God, that you have given us much mercy. Our eyes are being opened this morning to how much mercy you have for our life. And God, I pray that as we walk in your mercy, that God, you begin to change who we are. That God, we in return can reflect the nature of our Father and begin to show mercy to others. And God, we are walking and there's so much mercy in our life. And Father, I pray that we become channels of your mercy. We become agents of your mercy. That God, we can give mercy to those who need mercy. We can forgive those who don't deserve forgiveness. But God, you're going to allow us to have a culture change. You're allowing us to have a heart change. As we walk in your mercy, God, you're going to allow us to show others the same mercy. And God, I pray right now as we sit under a blanket, God, of a revive of mercy coming to our life this morning. And God, I pray your Holy Spirit right now is releasing in our mind, releasing in our spirit, casting aside all guilt, casting aside all fear, and allowing us to be free to walk in the mercy that the Father has given us. And we can walk in the freedom. If you believe you will walk in that freedom and mercy today, put your hands together and say, I bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, say it one more time.
And everything of me belongs to you. And you are why I sing. You are why I live. Oh, and everything of me, Lord, I place at your feet. You are why I love, you are why I give, and everything of me belongs to you. Oh, you are why I love, you are why I give, and everything of me, Lord, I place at your feet.
Father, we're thankful for the mercy of the Father. Are you thankful for the mercy of the Father today, man? What an awesome, awesome time today in God's presence. Turn to somebody, give them a high five, hug their neck, and say, man, it was great to be with you today. I look forward to seeing you soon. God bless you. Thank you so much.